You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. Great people like Brett R., Mage of Death, Navalis, David M., Boticus, Wicked Good, Mr. Jones, Trevor Y., Not Rob, Avantes, and Matt at Arms are making this show happen every week. You can join this great team and get some great perks for yourself over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. And by Humble Bundle, Overwatch for $12. That's the monthly deal this month. You can find a link to support the Happy Hearthstone with your purchase over at thehappyhearthstone.com in the show notes. Hello and welcome to episode 139 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week I am so excited to be hanging out with one of my besties, you. Aw, did you know that? No, but for real, you come, you hang out every week, means a lot to me. I'm really thankful to get some time to just hang out with you, talk about the meta, talk about a boatload of news that kind of came out of nowhere. Some of it we anticipated, but it was a lot at once. So we went from a few weeks in a row of just nothing to a week with lots to talk about. So I've got all of that. I've got your meta breakdown for today. And during a meta that is very difficult to predict, and where there's a lot of viability and stuff like that, these meta reports are getting more essential and more difficult to interpret than ever before. So we'll talk through all of that. I'll, of course, give you my recommendation for the How to Have a Happy Time deck of the week. Close things out with the card of the week. Should be a good time, pretty much. And I'll kick things off with why I'm happy, of course, today. Well, you know, in the realm of life outside of Hearthstone, I've been extremely busy with a lot of stuff. There's just a lot going on. I kind of got to one of those points. I actually was talking to my wife and I said, hey, I'm doing okay, like emotionally and all of that, but there's so much going on that I feel like I probably like need to just get some time with a counselor and talk through just priorities and what my schedule looks like. If I'm taking on too much, I hope you all know that like counseling has a bad rep to it, but the truth is like you should go see a counselor while you're healthy, because most of the time people only go after they're far beyond unhealthy, and there's not a lot that counselors are trained to help you through those times, but it can be a lot more helpful. I mean, it's like going to the doctor when you have a physical. There may be nothing wrong necessarily, but they can help you pinpoint things that, you know, will keep you from experiencing the physical pain. And it's the same with the counselor, that they can really help you kind of take part of that. And if your work is anything like mine, they actually have EAPs that they'll pay for. I think I get like 3 sessions a year or something like that. So that's something. And for the person who's just trying to make it through a normal life, that can really be helpful. So I want to encourage you. And if you're in a bad place, just go do it. Some people may have a bad perspective on it or something. Don't let them stop you. If you need help, get help. Way better than just trying to internalize it, not knowing how to process things, and being left with the void of your emotions and crazy talk. Well, if you're anything like me, at least that happens every now and then. So that's outside what's going on. In the game of Hearthstone, honestly, I feel like the tryhard is lifting a bit from my soul, which is probably a good thing, probably a healthy thing. So I'm still trying competitive stuff. But I've been having an affinity more for the off-kilter decks, and this really feels like back when I was, you know, consistent dad legend, hadn't hit legend before. That's really what I would do, is I just love playing the weird stuff, and so I'm kind of getting back into that mode, and it feels really good, honestly. So I played a little bit of Tice's OTK Paladin. I need to spend some more time with Ike's Good Shaman and Savitz's Big Priest, but like those are the 3 decks I really want to spend more time with. So I think I was at rank 4 last I checked. I might be at rank 5, honestly. I'm actually more successful with those off-kilter decks than when I try to really go all in on something that, this is the most hyper-competitive. I end up losing a lot of games that way, and I think it's because I pressure myself too much to perform. Whereas with these weird decks that are still good, because, you know, some professional players are doing well with them at least, I just go in and try them out, have a good time, find the things that work. And because there's less pressure, I sometimes do better. So take that for what it's worth. It's helpful for me. And it's definitely why I'm happy, because I'm having a lot more fun with the game because of that as well. And I'm super happy because I've got news to talk about with you. And I'm sure you're a little bit happy about that too. It's been a bit of a dry spell, but who knows? Maybe now the fire hose is on and it won't turn off until we're in December with the next expansion. But either way, looking ahead to that kind of time frame, BlizzCon virtual tickets are now for sale. So if you're unfamiliar with this, BlizzCon is an annual event that Blizzard puts on where they make a lot of big announcements, have a ton of time for the community, fun events and stuff. And it's held out in the Anaheim area in California. And so going there is obviously the premier experience, but they sell out of tickets like crazy. Bananas, crazy. Nuts, crazy? Banana nut bread is very good, and banana nut bread is crazy. I don't know if that's a thing. I was trying to work on it, and then I verbally processed it, and it didn't work. Anyway, back to BlizzCon. So the virtual ticket is everyone who can't get out to Anaheim, your ticket to be able to see live events, and also get some really cool digital perks as well. So the each year they come out with some different perks that you'll get for each of their games. So for World of Warcraft, for Overwatch, for Heroes of the Storm, and of course for Hearthstone also. So last year they gave away a golden version of Marin the Fox, which was a card from Kobolds and Catacombs. And the year before that, what did they give away there? Was it a card back? Oh goodness, I can't remember for the life of me. I know they gave away ETC, the Elite Torn Chieftain, at one of the BlizzCons, so, and that was exclusive. The only way you could get that is by getting a BlizzCon. So they seem to, like with Marin the Fox, they seem to kind of give something that maybe is going to be given away already to the grand community, but you get kind of an exclusive version of it. I would not be surprised at all to see that happen again. Perhaps a card back would make sense, or maybe actually a hero. That would be, ooh, I didn't think about that, but that would be really tempting. Those heroes are pretty dang cool. So we don't know what we're getting for Hearthstone this year. The only thing they've announced so far is the Overwatch perk, which is a somber skin that is modeled after the Demon Hunter in Diablo 3. It is way, way cool. And I'm not really a somber player in Overwatch, but I could be if I got this. So really cool. There will be something for Hearthstone, something for each of their games. And you'll get access to a ton of stuff. The price was increased this year, so it's $49 in America. Which, for all the content that you're getting and stuff, if you wish that you could be there, I mean, it's kind of irreplaceable. So being able to get that ticket is great. And they've really increased the amount of quality and the quantity of the content that they're doing and producing for that. So really cool stuff. And you can find a link to that and all the other new stuff that I'll talk about at thehappyhearthstone.com, of course. Well, let's move on to the events that really you should be watching, because these affect you on a deep level if you play Hearthstone at all. And the first one is, of course, the Days of the Frozen Throne event. So we knew this was coming from the patch with Boomsday, and now Hearthstone team has announced all the details around it, or at least most of the details. There's one really big thing they haven't told us yet as I'm recording this, but most of the stuff is just important for you to know anyway. So September 19th through 23rd, that's this upcoming Wednesday as this episode is releasing, is the time for the event. So it's a 7-day event here. And if you log in at any point during that week, you're going to get a free golden copy of the card Happy Ghoul, which is great. It's thematic, it's fun, and it's happy. Hello. Obviously, I'm okay with that. But what's really cool is that this is a playable card. Happy Ghoul is seen in the Heal Zoo lock deck. So very cool. If you don't have two of these already, great. If you don't have two golden, even better. And even if you're not a big fan of the Happy Ghoul, you can disenchant it, get some free dust. Doesn't hurt anything at all. And be sure, if you do have multiple accounts, that you log in each of those so that you can get your free Happy Ghoul. There's also going to be a special tavern brawl. They have told us minimal details about it. So you're going to start the game as a Death Knight from the Frozen Throne. And the deck, I believe, is pre-constructed around whatever that theme is. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops and what we see come from that. The thing that you do need to know about the Tavern Brawl is that there are also going to be two special quests that are going to be worth 300 gold each. That was not a typo. That was not a mispronunciation of the number 300 gold. So that's a total of 600 gold that you can get during this event. And it's just two quests. They did data mine these. So as I'm recording, this is the information we have. It may change because this part hasn't been officially announced by them. But the data mine showed that the first quest is play 40 Knights of the Frozen Throne cards. And the second one is to win the Tavern Brawl 5 times. Both of those aren't too difficult. The Tavern Brawl could take you a little bit if you're low rolling on your death knight. I guess if you get the warrior deck each time, that might not be great, unfortunately. But playing 40 Knights of the Frozen Throne cards should be fine. I mean, Lich King is played in pretty much, well, not every deck, but in a lot of decks. And the death knights are in several decks as well. So should be a good time. 600 gold. I mean, you can get 6 Boomsday packs. You can use those for more Knights of the Frozen Throne packs. But if you're really in the market for those Frozen Throne packs, they've also announced there's going to be a bundle of 30 Knights of the Frozen Throne packs that you can purchase, but we don't have a price on that yet. My best guess based off of sales we've seen is that it'll probably be $20. That's a good deal because pre-orders, they tend to go $1 for a pack. But when we saw the Get Everyone Get In Here bundle, or I can't remember, was it Get In Here? I think it was the Get In Here bundle. that was like a couple packs for free, essentially. So I think they're going to get a bit more aggressive with this one since Knights of the Frozen Throne is going to rotate out of standard here in, you know, less than a year. So $20 seems like a pretty good price. I mean, if they went crazy and made it 10 or 15, then snatch it up fast. For $20, it's kind of right on the line. It's probably still worth it if you play this game a lot, even just for the dust. That tends to be how I view any packs that are discounted like this, is that you're getting a discount on dust for the future, essentially, and it could fill out your collection a little bit. I think I have all of the Death Knights. I'm trying to think. I actually meant to check which legendaries I don't have from this set, because I'm sure there's a few, and if there's one that I still really want, I may jump for it, but I'm sure we'll find out about that soon. I mean, the event's going to come through soon, so certainly they're going to have it available pretty quickly once that's up. So get excited. Days of the Frozen Throne, love that they're doing something like this. It's just different, fun, lets us celebrate a great expansion thematic-wise. I think some of these cards are pretty dang powerful, so I don't know if I'm going to have a great taste in my mouth for them for all time, but obviously a very fun thematic expansion, so it should be fun to celebrate that with the Lich King, of course. And then the other big event that's going on right now, it actually began today as I'm recording this, is the HGG, it's the Hearthstone Global Games. They've announced that they're doing cheer rewards through Twitch. So this is happening from September 17th through November 4th, so a very long time here. If you're not familiar, on Twitch, you can cheer with bits. Any streamer that's an affiliate or a partner, you can cheer. It's a very small way of basically tipping them with their in-game currency. And so they've done this for Overwatch, and now they're doing it for the Hearthstone Global Games, where cheering for your team will unlock Twitch and in-game Hearthstone rewards. So some of the things you'll be able to get are exclusive emotes, there's a card back on the line, and then some packs that you'll be able to play with in the game as well. So the way this works, I am going to go through the details here just because this is very, pretty hot news here, so you probably haven't heard this from many other places yet. There are personal rewards and there are global rewards. So the personal rewards, for cheering so many bits, you'll be able to unlock certain rewards. And those are just straight up, you get what you get. The global rewards are something that is rewarded based off of everybody who has cheered for the game or for their teams. If so many bits have been used to cheer, it'll unlock something for everyone who cheered. So hopefully that makes sense. If you don't know as much about the cheers functionality and stuff, you can look at it in the show notes here. But the big thing that we've been wondering, because they just revealed the structure of how these rewards were coming out, but they announced that they were going to do this promotion a little bit, like 5 days ago or something like that. So we've all been wondering, is this going to be worth it or is this just kind of a money grab? And As a whole, I would say for the, you know, for the average listener of this show, you probably enjoy the game of Hearthstone. To some degree, you like to play on the ladder. To some degree, you enjoy watching Twitch streamers. If those things are all true, then this is a pretty good system, honestly, if you've got some spare bits hanging around or if you haven't ever cheered before. So let's go through the personal rewards and talk you through this. So for 300 bits, if you have cheered 300 bits, which it roughly averages out to like one bit is one penny. So 300 bits would be around $3. It's actually going to be a bit pricier than that. So there's a premium on it, but it's kind of a rough estimate to think about for that. So for 300 bits, you will unlock a common emote pack. So there are five emotes that you'll get that you can use perpetually. So for all time, I think. Indefinitely, at least. And two of those five, you've got the Sorry emote and the Vial of Dust from Hearthstone. So those are pretty cool. For 600 bits, you'll unlock four classic Hearthstone packs in the game. That's nice. 800 bits, you'll get the rare emote pack, which two of them include the Bag of Gold icon and a GG emote. And then for 1,000 bits, you'll get four more classic packs. 1,200 bits will get you two Witchwood packs on top of that. 1,400 bits, you'll unlock the Epic Emote pack. So you see, they're playing off with the rarity and stuff. But it's just different emotes that they have in there. In these, there's no randomization to what you're getting with the emote pack. So that Epic Emote pack includes Leroy Jenkins, the WoW emote, and a Rank 1 Legend icon. So those are really cool, very iconic for the Hearthstone player, obviously. 1,600 bits gets you two more Boomsday packs. 1,800 bits is the Legendary Emote pack, which this one has the concede button spread out into two different emotes. The oops emote, long awaited, I guess. The simple return, I guess. Huffer is on there, and also the rank 25 angry chicken. I know you're going to use that in some way. 2,000 bits will get you the get in here bundle. So that's two of each standard pack that exists right now, except for Boomsday, and that's including Classic as well. And then at 2,500 bits, you finally unlock the special card back, which it's this purpley, glowy one. I'll be honest with you, I'm not really enticed by the card back, just because I've learned after playing this game for several years, the card backs sort of come and go. And this one just, I don't know, it's nice, but it doesn't really like wow me necessarily. So I'm sure if you like it, go for it. Grab yourself some. And like I said, most of these pricings, they're pretty fair. I think the big thing is that the emotes really, they're things that you're going to use if you watch Hearthstone players and you like to engage in chat. So if that's something that you like, this is the only way that we know that we're going to be able to unlock these things. So go for it. Have some fun with it. One of the things that's really cool, and I don't get any cut from this, but I took advantage of it. If you've never purchased bits before on Twitch, they do offer you a one-time discount of 1,000 bits for $10. So that's a straight one bit is one penny, and you get 1,000 of them. So if you just do that, you'll unlock, what is that, eight classic packs and then two packs of the emotes. So you essentially get one free classic pack, and then you get those emotes for free. So it's not like overwhelmingly a great deal, but you know, the emotes are really fun, and I think they were well constructed as things that us in this space are really going to enjoy having around. So if that entices you at all, go for it. Hopefully you took advantage of the Jack Ryan promotion that they were doing also, where you could get 400 bits for free. I definitely did that. So combined all of that. Also, I was reminded by my buddy Matt at Arms on Twitter that you can actually get bits for free by watching ads in the Twitch app. And so if you go to a stream that has bits, you click on the little bit icon, you click the Get Bits button, and then there should be a link at the top that allows you to watch an ad. It's like one bit per ad, so it's going to take a lot of grinding to get to a place where you can get these for free. I think he estimated like 4 hours of doing that it would take to get all 2,500 bits, but if that's worth it to you, then go for it. It's nice at least to have a free option like that for people who may not have any spare change for something like this. So those are all the personal benefits. So the global benefits, there's only one that we know of so far, and it's when we hit 8 million bits, it'll unlock two Boomsday packs for everyone who's cheered at least 700 bits. So as I'm recording this, we just hit over 1.5 million bits globally, and the U.S. is way ahead of all the other countries. So if you're outside the U.S., come on, step up, represent, and we'll see how things change going forward. There will be three other global rewards that will unlock on September 25th, October 2nd, and October 31st. The promo pick on the Hearthstone Twitch shows a Boomsday pack, a Witchwood pack, and a Kobolds pack. So possibly there could be other sets that they'll unlock some packs for. Should be cool. When you think about this, you got to think about this from a business perspective. 8 million bits is around $8 million. It's actually over that. So a rough estimate is probably fair to say 10 million. That's probably too high, but you think about that kind of revenue for a promotion like this, it's pretty insane. So Hearthstone's doing just fine. Let's just get that out of the way. But lots of fun to be had with this, obviously. Cheer on your team. The global games are really fun. It's competitive, but it's a bit more lighthearted than the HCT events because those are cutthroat. You have to, you know, make it through. HGG is more about representing your country. And all of that. We are in the finals for the, or not the finals, but this is kind of the last streak through November 4th. So fun that they're doing something like this. Engage if you'd like to, and go support your team. Let's take a quick sponsor break. I want to point you all towards another deal since we're talking about getting your money's worth. I'll save you too much mumbo jumbo and just tell you this. If you don't have Overwatch yet, you can get it for $12 right now. What? That's insane. So you guys might remember Destiny 2 was part of the Humble Monthly package a few months ago. And the Humble Monthly package is about 9 or 10 games that you get something immediately when you purchase it. And then at the end of the month, it'll unlock a bunch of other stuff. And it's over $100 worth of stuff for $12. It's an insane deal for you and me. It is a great deal as far as being able to support charity also, because the purchase says that. And because they're a sponsor, you can actually support the Happy Hearthstone with your purchase as well. So if you don't have Overwatch yet, you've been thinking about it, you definitely want to jump in on this. If you have a friend that doesn't have Overwatch, you could gift this for them also. So, I mean, $12 is just, that's totally fine for just Overwatch, but at the end of the month, you're going to get 8 other games. You get access to a treasure trove of like classic games as well, and then you get 10% off anything in their store. So it's an insane deal. It's a great way to support the show. If you haven't checked it out yet, go over to the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com, click on the link there, and then you can make your purchase. I'll definitely be reminding you about this over the next few weeks, because This is insanity. And Overwatch is so much fun. If you have any interest in that game, this is the time to get it. And they actually have a promotion going. If you continue your Humble Monthly, months after that, you'll also unlock some exclusive loot crates in-game for Overwatch. So that's pretty cool incentive too. You can find out all the details and stuff, again, over at thehappyhearthstone.com. Click on the link in the show notes. So it's a simple sponsor break, because come on, Overwatch, $12, that's just silly. So let's go ahead and talk about the meta. So as I mentioned before, this is a squirrely meta. There is so much going on. There are so many decks that are powerful, and yet nothing is like clearly rising above the rest. And, you know, we always see some kind of variance from report to report, from Vicious Syndicate to Tempo Storm to Fade to Karma, who are back now. And it just goes to show, because we're seeing so much of that every single week, that the meta is really tough to nail down right now. So if you are looking for your silver bullet of a deck, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to do it for you. This is not the land of mid-range shaman far back, or of Death Rattle Hunter, where there was one deck that was just head and shoulders above the rest, and it was just mirror match after mirror match after mirror match, because that deck beat everything else. And so it brings its own frustrations that when you have such polarizing matchups and there are many different things that are viable, you're going to have some frustration when you ladder up and are consistently coming up against matchups that you don't expect. That maybe you were watching somebody on Twitch throughout the day and you get home at night and you say, I'm going to play this deck because this was really working well for them. And you just get bad matchup after bad matchup after bad matchup. It's tough, but this is the inherent difficulty of a diverse meta. With a diverse meta, you aren't going to be able to consistently find one deck that is going to outperform everything. You have to be willing to make quick adjustments on the fly. You have to be willing to dig your heels in even if you're not seeing all of the results that you want. And honestly, I'd encourage you, like I'm experiencing now, don't find too much of your identity in your rank. I've talked about this before on the show, but I think it's even more important when it's more difficult to nail down a certain deck. Give yourself the freedom to become a better player by not expecting yourself to win so much. It's okay. You can become a great player in a meta that seems easy or in a meta that seems difficult. Either way, there's opportunity for you to improve every single play, whether you're in a good matchup or a bad matchup. You've got a deck that you're comfortable with or you're not comfortable with. You've got an opportunity to learn every time you hit that play button. So take advantage of it and have fun along the way too. So looking through the Vicious Syndicate power rankings, their tier one decks from this past week are Token Druid, Cube Hunter, Odd Warrior, Even Warlock, and Quest Rogue. Really interesting, Token Druid and Cube Hunter continue to be kind of the busters of the rock, paper, scissors meta of aggro, control, and combo decks. And I think it's fascinating to me how both of these decks stand out as ones that don't fit that mold and yet continue to sort of rise to the top when looking at all of the different decks that are out there right now. Like Token Druid, for example, its worst matchups are pretty much anything Warlock, especially the Even Warlock control Warlock variables, because Defile can just cut through whatever insano board they've created. And also Taunt Druid, because having to get through a billion taunts is not very fun. The Token Druid deck can keep up with a giggling inventor or two, but it can't cut through. I mean, what would it be like? Six Primordial Drakes and Sleepy Dragons and all that shenanigans. So Taunt Druid actually has kind of been resurging quite a bit in the tournament scene and in the ladder scene. So because there's so much Token Druid out there. So if you're seeing Token Druid, Taunt Druid might be good pull for you. And then Cube Hunter's worst matchups, looking at this, are things that are hyper aggressive, like Odd Paladin and Odd Rogue, but also Quest Rogue is also able to get in a bit too early and just kind of cycle out of control. So Cube Hunter will be able to establish a board typically that's too sticky and too buffed up for the control decks to make quick work of it. So and then, of course, Deathstalker Rexxar. I think that is the best control card in the game. And that's a pretty staunch statement, but I'll stand behind it. I'm probably wrong, but I'm okay with that. It's just so good. And even though Cube Hunter is not a control deck per se, Deathstalker Rexxar, just playing it and having that hero power become perpetually good until the game is over is just so hyper valuable. So, that's kind of the big reason why those are rising to the top there. And Odd Warrior, of course, doing well as aggro continues to be strong. Even Warlock also, I played a little bit of, and I think that Even Warlock is really well situated right now because they're able to stop the hyper-aggressive decks, heal back up to a place where they're more comfortable with, and then able to output damage more than the typical control deck is pretty quickly. So definitely one to watch there. I was just playing my old Even Warlock deck from I think before Boomsday hit. I still had it in my deck list for some reason. Actually, I think it was a post-Boomsday list. It just didn't have any Boomsday cards in it. So definitely try it out. And then Quest Rogue, if you're seeing a lot of control, Questrogue is able to make quick work of that and can even sneak out the crazy aggro wins too with a well-placed Vicious Scale Hide, typically after the quest is played. So you can just get four health. Seems like a pretty good strategy to me. Vicious Syndicate ends up with their meta breakers of the week being Quest Rogue and even Warlock. Very cool. They say here that whenever the meta turns its head away for a moment, Quest Rogue starts its shenanigans again. It's so powerful against any deck that lacks the capability of pressuring it from turn one. And it's also a very skill-intensive deck, especially in the aggressive matchups, which are particularly difficult to navigate. Deck's not going anywhere, will likely continue to dictate high-level ladder and tournament play until further notice. So, you know, people have been screaming out for the third nerf, I suppose it was, or just doing away with the card completely. I saw somebody on Twitter say, why can't we just all get 1600 dust and Blizzard say we're sorry and the card just disappears? I don't think that's the correct solution necessarily, but I totally understand. So, that's everything there from Vicious Syndicate. Let's take a quick look at HS Replay here. And honestly, I don't think there's been much of a shift here in their Tier 1 reports here. Today, they're saying Odd Paladin is at number 1, followed by Even Shaman, Odd Rogue, and Secret Hunter following that up. I will say I've seen quite a bit more Secret Hunter lately than I have felt. And looking at this, this is the list with Secret Keeper and Subject 9, which Boar Control famously came out with, I guess. So I think it's a really interesting list. I've actually seen more straight up Spell Hunters, which is that a separate? Yeah, Spell Hunter is different according to them. So interesting. I've heard people with varying levels of success with the Secret Hunter build. I mean, you get a Secret Keeper on turn one and then follow it up with, secret after secret, and then the Spellstone on turn five, you might have him dead on turn six or seven, honestly. So I think it's a really interesting deck, able to get hyper aggressive against maybe some of the combo decks that you're seeing, and even able to cut through the even Warlock lists. If they don't get the healing that they need, having that two damage hero power that is just a timer essentially for them, as well as I'm sure this runs two copies of Kill Command. It's got the explosive traps in there, so there's even more damage that you can deal directly to them, which they may just not have enough to be able to get out of that. An Odd Paladin is just not going away. It's able to still combat the combo decks that you see out there. It is the rock to the scissors of the combo decks. So really good against like Odd Rogue because it's able to just move too fast. It's interesting that just even in the aggro part of the meta, you've got Odd Paladin, which beats Odd Rogue, and then you've got Odd Rogue, which beats Zoo. And I believe, does Zoo beat Odd Paladin? Yeah, it does, according to Vicious Syndicate. So that's even the rock, paper, scissors of just the aggressive decks. So it's kind of interesting how that cycle works. But anyway, Odd Paladin usually can get in to kill Cube Hunters too quickly, and they can't keep up with it as well. So there are enough good matchups. Now, Odd Paladin does not do well against Druids that are running, especially Spreading Plague, because that's just not a good time by any stretch of the imagination. And Odd Warrior is able to make do, armor up or tank up too fast for them to really keep up with. So Odd Paladin, I think, and I'm looking at the meta for all ranks. And so I would assume, like, if you're somewhere in that 25 to 15, maybe even 10 rank, Odd Paladin is going to be a really strong deck for you to learn to move up to the next floor or something like that. Because these statistics take into account all games. So I would assume that a large majority of games are being played at those ranks. And so those are factoring in here quite a bit. And it might be why, with Vicious Syndicate, you're able to deduce it even further to things like just Legend and ranks 4 to Legend and stuff like that. So Anyway, cool stuff here, and I love seeing Even Shaman making a resurgence. Corpse Taker is just able to do some work against all of the crazy aggressive decks that are out there. And even Knife Juggler, Murkspark Eel are able to do quite a bit as well. So I'd be interested to play some more Even Shaman. I want to play Ike's Good Shaman. He just posted an updated version the other day, so I want to play that. I want to play Even Shaman. Man, those mid-range shaman days of the past are truly behind us, I think, if I'm really wanting to play more of that. And then Bauman is going to have its day one of these days. Actually, if I don't get up to rank 3 in the next day or two, I'll probably play some more Bauman and just be okay with being where I'm at on the ladder. So let's look at Tempo Storm's list here. So they came out with Malygos Druid, Togwaggle Druid, and Token Druid being the top of Tier 1, followed up by Zulok, Deathrattle Hunter, Quest Rogue, and Evenlock. So no surprises there. I'm kind of confused, honestly. Tempo Storm continually puts all of the Druid decks at the very, very top. And Togwaggle Druid, I do believe, is stronger than it's gotten credit for lately. I tried playing some games with it, but for whatever reason, was just not able to make it work. I feel like it's maybe the most consistent and strong combo deck when you know how to play it that's out there right now. I mean, it just wins straight up against Odd Warrior if you're facing that. Or Control Warlock, as long as they don't Rin you too fast. Actually, if they Rin you, I guess that's a good thing, isn't it? So even those are okay. And they have it favorably matched up against Token Druid, Malygos Druid, and Odd Rogue even. So I think the big reason why it's able to get such a broad win rate against a wide variety of different decks is because it's able to armor up so fast and so aggressively. I did win a game the other day where Branching Paths just proved to be the MVP. I mean, getting 12 armor for 4 mana is just fine. I mean, Healing Rain is about the only thing that beats it, but Healing Rain isn't guaranteed to go to your face, you know? So I guess this is the greater healing potion of our time now. So I do think that Togwaggle Druid might be more powerful than it's gotten credit for. So Tempo Storm might be right with that. But Malygos Druid on top, I mean, I see some high legend players doing really well with it, but I haven't seen it do as consistently in the lower ranks. So I would definitely caution you, unless you feel very, very comfortable with Mali Druid, from making that your deck in the lower ranks. But Togwaggle Druid is definitely one to learn, and Token Druid, of course, is still up here. So good stuff with that. I think my other thing with Togwaggle Druid is now that I've sort of started tinkering with more combo decks with the Mechathune Warrior, and there was one other one I was playing. I can't remember what it was, but Togwaggle Druid just seems to be maybe the most consistent out of all of them, because that's really what you want in a combo deck. You could come up with a billion different combos that are just off the wall, crazy, insano, and those are the people who get into every... not Frodan video, my goodness, what's his name? Trolden, my goodness. Trolden video are the weird, wacky decks and stuff like that. But if you want to have a combo deck that's competitive, it has to be consistent, because combo decks are 100% dependent on getting the cards that they have to have in place and played in a certain order, like Mechathune Priest or Mechathune Warrior Perfect, where you have to have these certain cards and cycle through your deck quickly to get to them. So the consistency factor is number one, and I feel like Togwaggle Druid just has so much consistency, because the cards that give you armor and draw, like potentially Branching Paths or definitely Ferocious Howl, are just so well suited in this meta. They keep you alive, they let you cycle through, of course, Ultimate Infestation, that card, it's fine now. You remember when it was like really problematic? Yeah, that was interesting, so... But I think that there's some meat on that bone with Togwaggle Druid. So if you're wanting to find a combo deck to play, that's one that you could tinker around with. And then did want to shout out that Fate of Karma has made a resurgence now with their tier list. So they just updated this at the end of August. And at their tier 1, they've got Token Druid, Deathrattle Hunter, and Odd Warrior. A pretty good list there, too. And again, these are more... they say that they compile some ladder data and get the legend, their legend players' opinions to kind of combine together. So it's a good mixture. And I think that this is a pretty good representation. Odd Warrior is the one that I feel like a lot of people are, it's either feast or famine, where they're doing really well with it or they're not doing really well with it. So I would really kind of hone in on the Token Druid and Death Rattle Hunters there. And they both put these at a medium level of difficulty to master, and I would agree with that. Token Druid is not as advanced a deck as I thought. I guess my perception before I started playing it was that it was just this insano deck, kind of on Quest Rogue level, where it's just like you have to know how to play it, how to play your matchups. There is a learning curve. It's not an easy deck to just pick up and win with, but it's not quite as complex. It's more of a kind of a solitaire method where a lot of the deck is knowing what you want to do and the kind of board you want to set up. And then the deeper layer is knowing your opponent's board clears and how to play around those, being sure that you do that well. So I would agree with that. So glad that they're back. So my How to Have a Happy Time deck of the week. Well, I'm going to point you again to two different decks because this is just a period in Hearthstone where it's really difficult to nail things down. So I want to give you at least a couple options for what to do here. And Token Druid is, no surprise, going to be at the top of my list. It's consistent. It's got a wide variety of good matchups. And it rewards being able to learn it well with good play, or with more wins, obviously. So being able to take advantage of that is a great thing, and you should do that. And I thought that I'd link you a deck list that Wicked Good and I were working on that it's subbed out. We kind of took a couple different lists and combined them because we both saw Onyxia in a list for Token Druid and just got wide-eyed and excited. So we wanted to work that in and saw another list that was running Tar Creepers instead of the Spellstones, which I thought was a great idea. Also, you're going to get more value against the aggressive matchups with those Tar Creepers anyway. So I don't know that this is the optimal list necessarily, but you'll have a little bit more fun. And playing a Phlebitonous Floop version of Onyxia is just so satisfying after they think that they cleared your crazy Onyxia board. So that's definitely one to try out and play. And the other one I'm going to tell you to try out is Even Warlock. This is a deck that's been around now for quite a bit, but I feel like with a wide variety of matchups, and I honestly, like, the big thing, being able to combat hunters with a well-placed Hellfire is just so, so powerful. If you're coming up against those spell hunters like I am, clearing out their Spellstone is massive. But you got to have the heal tools on the back end of that, I've also learned. So those are the two decks I'm going to point you to. If you're interested in seeing my recommendation for the deck list to play for them, you can go over to the show notes at thehappyhearthstone.com. I've also got links to all of the meta reports that I talked about here, so you can find all of them and have a very happy time while you're up on the ladder. I'm going to remind you, like I tend to do, enjoy the game. Find a deck list that you like, and spend some good time watching Twitch streamers also. I want to come back to this frequently because I feel like it's something we all know, but we don't do well enough. If you find yourself hyper, hyper frustrated about your ladder play, take a day or two, or even, yes, a week off. And anytime that you would be playing Hearthstone, get really engaged with a Hearthstone streamer. If you're not sure where to start and you haven't downloaded my free guide to some great Twitch streamers that'll help you get better at playing Hearthstone, again, thehappyhearthstone.com, you'll find it. If you go to thehappyhearthstone.com/newsletter, actually, sign up for my mailing list that'll remind you about when episodes come out and stuff. My free gift to you is this guide that I've compiled of some great streamers that'll help you get better because they explain their plays well, they engage with their community well, all sorts of stuff like that. So definitely go check that out and commit yourself to becoming a student of the game rather than just, you know, hitting your head against a wall. No one enjoys that. I would encourage you to try something different, like watching and learning from the best. So go do that. I did want to shout out some friends who on Twitter answered my question. I was asking, what's a deck that's been working for you in this meta, and what's a deck that has not? And got a ton of responses, so thank you so much to everybody who jumped out into that. I heard from Battle Bunny Randy. He said that he had a 72% win rate with Alunethmage. That is really impressive, man. He said that was from rank 5 to 1. So big shout out to you. I'm guessing you're seeing a lot of Warlock opponents because that deck is very, very well suited against those, but struggles with a lot of other stuff. So very, very cool. Zwiederman, I believe is how you pronounce it. He said that he was doing well with Heal Zoo and Odd Rogue, not doing so well with Odd Pally and Spiteful Druid. Spiteful Druid is another interesting deck that's kind of off meta, but could do well. In fact, Raging Al said also that Spiteful Druid had been doing well for him. So he says, Spiteful Druid got some of the climb done for me yesterday. Floop as the third Spiteful is just too good. I can agree and see how that works. And Odd Rogue also for him. So very cool with that. Let's see what else here. Forrest Bates mentioned that Quest Rogue is doing well for him in Standard. And even Pinata Shaman in Wild is not. You know, Forrest, I've seen you tweet about that. And that sounds like a ridiculously fun deck. Just because the Explosive Pinata is like an awesome deck. So I really want to check that out. And let's see, let's find one more person to shout out here. Let's go with Diamond. His Twitter handle is Harmon Sekhon. And he said Zulok is working well. Spiteful Druid is about a 50-50. It rolls or it gets rolled. And I remember that being true when I was playing Spiteful Druid in past metas. So definitely can see how that would happen. Well, thank you so much for answering that. Be sure to be following me on Twitter at AndrewsLiving to stay connected. But I did get a review from my friend Blazin' Bob. Bob, thank you so much for leaving this review. The title is Great Podcast, 5 stars. He said, started listening a few weeks ago and already in love. That means so much to me. Thank you so much, man. Bobby, I know you didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give you a free shout out anyway, because I really appreciate you, man. So if you're into Overwatch at all, you definitely should go check out his podcast, Watchpoint Radio, and the Owl Recap. I know we got a brand new Overwatch League season coming up here soon. So he's a great guy. And we need to have you and Mel over sometime or go hang out with you. So we're overdue for that, and that's on me. So I'll reach out to you, man. And I know that you know Blazin' Bob, but I want to make sure everyone else knows that these iTunes reviews really make a big difference. So if you have not left a review over at the Apple Podcasts app or on iTunes, please go do that. It takes you a few minutes and it helps other people find the show and is a really big help. So thanks again, Blazin' Bob. Appreciate that and would love to read your review next week. So go do that. All right. I got a card for us. I got a song for this card. And we got to talk about it anyway, because I mean, everyone's talking about it. But yeah, let's just get into it here. Lately I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the Noiatrons you bring. Lately I've been going face, but every time I see you, you put me in my place. Shadow reflection makes you way too good. Seeing 6/4/4s where 4 of them have divine shield and taunt, all because you just had one card in your hand and you played your Death Knight already this game. Gets me in a ragey mood, but take you out of this squirrely meta. I'm not sure what would happen, not really convinced it would be better, because you're giggling in Vanna. Okay, that's what I got. Oh, have you met this card? I kind of went for a deep cut with this one because I wasn't sure that you guys have, you know, tried out a Giggling Inventor in, a deck or two. Of course, it bears repeating, but I'll tell you anyway. 5 mana, 2/1 card from Boomsday reads, Battlecry, summon 2/1/2 mechs with taunt and divine shield. You remember when this card was first announced and we wondered if they would actually be Annoyatrons? Yeah, they are Annoyatrons. And either way, it's, you know, this card elicits so many emotions out of so many people. And I don't want to repeat much because my buddy Wicked Good unveiled a whole episode called No Giggling Matter, where he talks about the surface level issues and the deeper issues inherent with this card, the meta, everything surrounding it. So I'm going to just point you to that. I will link it in the show notes right next to the card of the week. If you're not listening to Off Curve every week, you really, really should be. Steve does a great job talking through some of those deeper issues that we all struggle with. And this one especially helped me get a better handle on my emotions and how I was feeling about the game. So go check it out. out. The spoiler that was in the Card of the Week lyrics is not really sure that this card inherently is the problem. I don't think that it should be able to be played with Shadow Reflection. So that's kind of the big issue in my mind. But the problem is you make it six mana, it can still be played with Youthful Brewmaster and then be played infinitely because you could Giggling Inventor, Youthful Brewmaster it, and then use the Shadow Reflection to Youthful Brewmaster the Youthful Brewmaster. So it's still an infinite combo that way. So I don't think that's the answer, and I don't know what they're going to do. If you didn't see it, there was an interview that was revealed with Ixar where he said that they're not quite sure yet about what they're going to do or if anything needs to be done. It's really interesting to see how this meta will continue to develop, but I'm really excited. We've still seen some new decks and new cards, stuff like Savitza's Big Priest that came out of nowhere, and Sho had a Tempo Warrior. So, I mean, people are still continuing to experiment and finding some great stuff. So, don't blame it all on Giggling Inventor. The truth is that she's helping the control decks. She's helping the aggro decks. And when a card's just in everything, it tends to not be a good sign of things, but at least Strong Shell Scavenger gives her a different flavor. I don't know. That's all I'm going to say about her. Go check out Steve's episode of Off Curve, No Giggling Matter. And I'll go ahead and close things out here. Thank you so much for listening. It really means the world to me. And that's why I tell you every single week that you are the Happy Hearthstone. You're a part of this community. Whether you've been listening for the very first time this episode or you've been listening for months, I know some of you have been listening since the very beginning of this show. And so I count it an honor that just to get some time in your podcast lineup. And I want to encourage you, if this is your first time listening to the show, come back. Hang out with us. Engage in the Discord, which you can find links for in the show notes over at thehappyhearthstone.com. Or engage on Twitter. I'm on there at Andrew is Living. Would love to connect with you. And if you have any ideas for shows, any questions that you have for me that you'd like talked through on the show, or if you'd like to join me for an episode, I'd love to have you. It really is the core for of the show since the beginning. And something that I love to continue on, having different members of the community. Got a good friend joining me for the next episode, and I'm really excited to record with him. So if you have any interest of being on a show, whether you've ever been on a podcast or never been on a podcast, let me know. You can email me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com or tweet at me at Andrew's Living. We'll figure things out. It's pretty simple and a lot of fun. And if you've been listening for a while and you are trying to figure out what your next step is, the truth is this show only continues to grow and become a great part of the community because of your involvement. So leaving a review on iTunes like my buddy Blazing Bob did would mean the world to me, and would love to read that out on the show next time. And supporting the show on Patreon is, of course, the best way to support the show because it's directly there. Got some great perks for you, like the $5 level really is the one I'm most proud of. I'm making exclusive content every single week. And so if you've been hearing about that and kind of like, man, that'd be interesting, you actually can kind of sign up for like a soft trial, essentially. So if you go over to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone and sign up at the $5 level, you won't be charged until the beginning of the next month. And so you can kind of take the time between now and then to sort of check it out, see what you think about it. If you like it, then great, you can stay on. And if it's not your jam, that's okay. You can remove yourself and continue to listen and be a part of the community. But I know the people who are over there really mean a lot to me because you're helping me to do more. So thank you so much for supporting the show. And of course, big thank yous go out to Red Knight, Risen, and John M for being producers of the show. Seriously, I would not be able to spend as much time as I do, whether it's quality-wise and making sure the show notes are there or delivering the episode or stuff. You three make a massive, massive impact on the show. So thank you so much for being friends, for being supporters, and just really bolstering our community the way that you do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So that is just about everything that I've got for you. I hope that you're having a great week. Hope you're enjoying the game. Remember, be sure to go and engage. There's a lot of stuff going on Twitch right now, but just go learn from somebody. And again, there's some great names on that free guide that I've got for you, thehappyhearthstone.com/newsletter. And find somebody that maybe you haven't watched before, follow them, listen to them, watch them play some games, and learn from them. I bet you're going to learn something from them. You're probably going to be entertained too, because they're all great guys and gals. So Go get yourself some of that. Go get yourself some of that lovely meta. And thank you so much for getting yourself some of that happy Hearthstone, too. Seriously, can't tell you how much you mean to me. Thanks again for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you next time.